Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Born in Tennessee.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew です。日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. May those who love our Yah be granted favor tonight, and those that hate him be filled with their own hate. Shalom, women and sisters. I'm Ashley, the voice behind this weekly show. Myself and Mother Jennifer freely give what we have received. Mother Jennifer, can we get a sound check, please?
Yes, ma'am. Shalom and blessings to you all, daughters of Zion. Blessings to you, Sister Ashley. Thank you so much for having me on with you for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray that everyone can hear me, and I'm still in the process of pulling up the chat room, but Sister Ashley, is that enough? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, ma'am. And chat room looks good. Tins, thank y'all so much for your communication. How's Georgia? Everything okay? Any updates from your end? Still growing?
Yes, Sister Ashley. Georgia is doing very well. Doing very well. We are growing not only in number, but growing spiritually. We have beautiful saints that have been added to us. The Father is definitely adding you know, daily, just like you read about in the book of Acts. There's so many projects going on the land, so many buildings being put up, so many plans for buildings to be built, you know, so many things in the near future. It's just a really exciting time to be in the Most High, Yah. It truly is, Sister Ashley. Back to you.
Hallelujah. So we share our acknowledgments first thing, just the things that are on our heart, the people that we want to honor. Is that something, Mother Jennifer, because I've never asked you, is that something that you think of throughout the week? Do you kind of flow with it when the show goes live? Do you kind of make a note sometimes you don't want to forget to say something? What is your heart on the acknowledgments?
Sister Ashley, I used to kind of jot down notes of things that would happen during the week, and you know, now I'm just at a point where there's always gratitude in my heart, no matter what. And so I just let it flow, and I reflect on what the Father has done during the week. I reflect on the ways that I'm provided for, the ways that I'm covered, you know, by my covering, Elder Rufus. The gratitude I have in my heart for the man of Yah, our shepherd, our pastor, you know, the gratitude that I have in my heart for the saints that I live with. And, you know, I just let that flow out of me. And it's just always a beautiful thing to really speak about how grateful you are for not only what Yah has done, but the people that he's placed in your life as well. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Absolutely. I marvel at the Father's forgiveness, and I glorify him for being higher than man. In my heart, I often reflect on that, you know, for having ways past finding out. I really appreciate that, and for forgiving me and not rewarding me according to iniquity, and, of course, for showing loving commitment to me and loving commitment to the children of my womb. I met the Father, Mother Jennifer. I met the Father very naive and ignorant of him, and it's been a very rewarding journey of learning him, a journey that I truly never, ever imagined. So I agree with who prayed the prayer. Was it Samuel? Was it Solomon? Yeah, it was Solomon who said, there's no one like you. There's just no one like you. And he just laid his face out prostrate before the people praying in Israel, just blessing. It was really it was in First Kings 8. Let me go there for a second. I'm going to throw this into my intro. It was such humility in his speech, in this prayer. And he said, there's no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with your servants that walk before you with all their heart, and all his promises in his sight, and just that whole dialogue in 1 Kings chapter 8. I really, really love that. I admire the prayers of the ancients, or those who are even written about, and I'll often reflect on just their dialogue. And so that's one of them. But I agree with Solomon. Hallelujah. And to my faithful husband, that has endured and loved and stood and waited and hoped for good in me. Hallelujah. He's always had an answer to every question I've ever presented to him. And even tonight's dialogue that we'll be engaged in, and our conversation that we'll have tonight, was actually initiated by a conversation that I had with my husband last Shabbat after the message. I enjoy our conversations, and I will often reflect on I make it a purpose to find joy, you know, in my life. I find it, meaning I look for it, because it's a world of evil and much sorrow. So one of the things that I really, really enjoy are conversations with my husband. So thank you, hallelujah, to our shepherd for enduring your people, for staying on your face and not smiting the rock. Thank you for not caving under pressure. Hallelujah, and really being a strength to many, many men, not wavering. Thank you to those who support the Lion's Den, you know, those who are watching and supporting. And, you know, I really hope that is not in any of your hearts. Look, I'm supposed to be doing my acknowledgments, but if something comes to my mind, I hope it's not in your hearts. When you check your motives behind what you do, what is your intention, you know, in listening and following, you know? You can go on some of these platforms and you can see the chat room just blow up with all types of encouragement, all types of, you know, just comments in general. But what's your motive behind what you do? Because you're not that active over here. As a woman, you're not even active on a woman's platform. In the chat room, you're not even that active. But you go to a man's forum and you just blow it up, you know. And I pray that you just check those natures inside yourself, you know. Give when it isn't seen. And speak when it's not heard, you know. It's just not about being out front. It's not about being known and being seen in those platforms. If you're listening, if you're loving, if you're giving, if you're praying, that's your requirement. Hallelujah. So just a special shout-out to the Lion's Den, Brother Rob, Brother Samuel, your beloved Ishaiz, your wife, Sister Dorothy, I received it. It's wonderful. Thank you, Sister Aya, Sister Hadassah, huge supporters and great instruments behind the computer for the Straightly Held Meets YouTube channel, as well as getting the emails to where they need to go. And bless the men who are behind Praiseland, Brother David, Brother Jordan, Ryan, Freddie, your wives, your families, all of Praiseland. Bless you all. Too many to name, but Brother Jennifer, we are the only people that cast no one away from salvation. We are the only people expressing the law and mercy and balance. We're considered Christians for our mercy doctrine. We're considered legalists for our law beliefs. We're considered lovers of Esau for our message to the Gentiles. We're accused of brainwashing because we live in unity. We're accused of being a cult because the wisest man on earth is our shepherd. And it matters not to me. You've added nothing to me. Hallelujah. So I pray that those who are of like-minded faith, who are gaining continually from the Spirit of Yah, meaning gaining peace, gaining understanding, getting corrected, receiving chastisement, going on from faith to faith, glory to glory. I pray that you are the ones that are tuned in tonight, hallelujah. And I pray that you always receive something in your spirit that you can meditate on and be a better version of you. And I get that from the words of my shepherd. So please share your heart, Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. You know, first and foremost, I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for continuing to keep me as the apple of his eye, for proving me and testing me and trying me and just really hiding me in him, not allowing my foot to slip at all, just always keeping my mind sane and steady on him, even in the midst of everything going on around us, everything that is so unsure, how the people of this world are so unsure. I don't leave the land very often at all, but when I do, I notice that the fear of the people is getting greater and greater, and it really is to the point where you just don't want to leave the land at all. You don't want to leave the people of Yah at all. So I'm so grateful to have a place of refuge. I'm so thankful that the Father has placed me here, a place where he has put his name on, a place where I can live safely with saints who truly love him and are truly striving toward perfection just as I am. And I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, who is always pouring into his family. You know, it's and the things that many would consider small things, but when you truly pay attention, you understand that he's always pouring and pouring and pouring and giving of himself, never complaining at all, always giving Israel what is truly needed, using the discernment that the Father has given him, and never turning anyone away, always truly loving and giving what exactly is needed. I'm honored to learn from him, and I'm honored to just be able to have his mind and to learn his mind even more and more every single day. And finally, to Pastor Dowell, the man of Yah, you know, with Sister Ashley, you talked about how we don't exclude anyone. And, you know, I'm so happy that we, you know, you ran down the whole list of, you know, all the rejection that we experience. And, you know, that level of rejection shows that we are true followers of the Messiah, and we wouldn't understand or know it without our shepherd really standing for truth, just simply for truth, not excluding anyone. I've heard so many testimonies of marriages being healed, of people being healed because they've been excluded from the world, from other doctrines that are being taught out there. And I'm so grateful for the love that is in the heart of the man of Yah that can bring the healing that is truly going forward now. So blessings to you, Pastor Dowell, and to your entire family. It is an honor to be a part of this ministry. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So a wedding coming up, I have to say it, because as the days quickly approach and we watch the union of two very deserving and holy people come together, I just want to acknowledge them and acknowledge the Father for allowing me to know them, watch them, and grow with them. I love our beloved brother, Brett, and Sister Tia. Thanks to everyone who has poured into both of them, and thanks to the Almighty Yahweh for their union. Hallelujah. Anything that you would like to share before we conversate, Mother Jennifer, please take the time.
Sister Ashley, you had mentioned, you know, the conversation in the chat room from the women. And sometimes, you know, I'll go in the chat room as a moderator. And I must say that, you know, when the word is going forward, we have to really remember there are so many elements that have been put in that chat room to distract you. And the importance need to be put on the listening and the hearing. So if you have to close your chat room just so that you can truly hear the word, then do that. I understand that so many are alone. So many are starved for fellowship. But really listen to the word. And I even see where Elder Rufus will put in the chat room throughout the message, you know, don't get distracted, saints. Listen to the word going forward. So please don't be a woman who puts yourself in a position of going backward and forward in conversation when you really should be listening to the word. I'm not saying that it's not okay to, you know, to agree or to say hallelujah or whatever, but just the going backward and forward when the word is going forth is inappropriate for us women. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah, absolutely. And, you know, the correction and the actual, the dialogue of talking about it, it doesn't come with anyone in mind, any criticism or any spirits that you may hear in your mind. When you hear women dialoguing and conversating, trying to edify one another with righteous conversation and fellowship, it's really you saying, how can I know these things if I didn't have this in my life? How can I know how to behave myself as a woman in a chat room if someone didn't teach me, show me? You can watch the pattern of 100% of the women that live on the Straightway community on home base, and you can follow that pattern. You know, and you might say, well, they're not in the chat. I'm not in the chat at all. So for this to even come up is really just the Father leading you, leading someone to get your behavior under check. You want to be a woman, you got to be taught by a man who teaches his woman. Hallelujah. So have you ever, my sisters, and the dialogue tonight conversation comes, I'll tell you what happened, Mother Jennifer, was after Shabbat message, and it was just really, really powerful, as they always are. And all praises to the Father for every word that I've ever heard and every word and message that our shepherd has taught that fell on deaf ears or was planted in the hearts of those who would bring forth fruit. Either way, very, very grateful. I don't always glorify this Shabbat message as I should or as I can using this avenue, but at the same time, I take it to heart. And so this particular Shabbat was a message about being converted, being a stranger, being a Gentile, okay, a proselyte. And it was a really, really wonderful message. My husband, being a melanated man, and myself being without melanin, you should say black and white, in a racial relationship, he asked me the question, how did I hear? You know, what was the message like for me? Like, you know, just some feedback. And him and I, we don't actually do that often. I'd say we've probably done it 5-10 times in our whole entire marriage, you know, as far as just bouncing words back and forth about the message. So I thought it was interesting that he asked me, because I sat in my chair very humbled by the manifested forgiveness of the Hebrews. The ability for the Hebrews to hear a word like that and to accept Gentiles and to accept strangers and to accept others into their covenant after the atrocities that have been done to them are, you know, are real. They're very impactful. For them to be a vessel of forgiveness is very, very honoring, to be a part of a people like that. And it made me reflect all week on the Father's forgiveness and how he is committed to forgive, and how the impact of forgiveness, and let me pause for a moment, because every one of you are required to forgive. It's a spiritual law. It has to happen, or what? You'll be bound. And so you can tell how much a woman has been forgiven, and you can tell how much she forgives by how much she's been forgiven. I'm speaking slow on purpose. And this manifested forgiveness is an example of Yah's manifested love for us. I guess I can pause there, Mother Jennifer, and just get your thoughts on the Shabbat message. You are a black American woman to the world, a melanated Hebrew woman and mother and friend to me. How did you hear?
Sister Ashley, I heard such a message of compassion and grace, and I really saw a lot of freedom going forward. You could tell that there were so many people being set free, and there was so much mercy coming from the throne of Yah, literally, setting people free from so much hate. And I'm not just talking about the hatred that melanated people carry, but even hatred that has been spewed onto people who are non-melanated. So much unforgiveness going forward. You know, it's like those things were truly broken, because there's more and more understanding going forward. And I know Pastor speaks on this subject quite a bit. He never backs down, you know, from talking about racism on either side. And every single time he talks about it, it's like he's chipping away more and more and more of the pieces, and more people are getting set free. I even went back and listened to the message again, and I was looking in the comments, you know, and some people were saying that this was their first time listening and how freeing it was, and they'll definitely be listening again going forward. So I heard so much compassion. I heard so much grace going forward, and so much time that really went into just preparing that message, not putting, you know, slop together. And it was just very, very well orchestrated, very well put together, and definitely was just a lot of truth going forward, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah, it really was. And as I said earlier, have you ever considered Yahweh's commitment to forgive? And I reflect on just the very beginning of time, time as we know it, when he created the first being, when he said, I'm going to make a man in my image. And initially and early on in the faith, I knew the image was someone like him, but I didn't look any, or didn't think any further than that. But to know that Yah was creating a being that had a will like he has a will. So the Most High can choose to forgive or not, be angry or not, pardon or not, not to be made like corruptible man. Of course, I'm not bringing him down. I'm exalting him, but also making that man like him means through his experiences, he also would have to manifest the same covenant love. And the purpose of the captivities that our people, our Hebrew people, have been in was to lead them to repentance. The same way that the purpose of a fork is for dinner and the purpose of the spoon is for soup. You have the purpose of the heathens and you have the purpose of the nations around you and you have the purpose of the covenant. And that purpose is defined by our Maker. So when our Maker forgives a body of people over and over, as we can read in the account, just as he's forgiven you, it's amazing to think about the impact that it's had on our Creator to constantly forgive. I guess I would pose the question, did the Most High Yah forgive you? And you will say yes. And does he hear you? Maybe you will say yes. But how do you know that? How do you know that? And concretely tonight through our conversation, I pray that that's what we answer. That you don't just give the base, yes, he forgave me, yes, he hear me. But you can't provide any proof or any fact or any knowing reason why. You know? Because we can't just glorify ourselves. We must be, you know, made and supported by him, forgiven by him. Hallelujah. Jennifer, your thoughts?
And I wanted to say, you know, while we're discussing this tonight, really understand and know that you have hurt people too. So this is not just about what has been done to you. Really focus and reflect on what you have done, even if it's, you know, you've held unforgiveness in your heart and you haven't reached a point of truly forgiving someone, then that is a hurt. That is something that you have done to hurt someone else. So really reflect on yourself, not in a condemning way, but allow your heart to really be convicted so that you can be set free and you can set someone else free as well. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So I'm gonna give y'all some of my thoughts this week as I reflected on the Most High's forgiveness, and I really do want to bring up the points throughout our dialogue tonight. The point of your own expected forgiveness, how you are supposed to forgive. A large majority of you could have something in front of you right now, currently, that is requiring your utmost forgiveness, and I, as a vessel of earth, you know, as Teacher Shane says, with this earth suit on, I understand the power of unforgiveness and forgiveness. I understand the pain of forgiveness when you want to, but you something's holding you back. But I understand the surrender, and I understand the freedom of the spiritual law of forgiveness because I have been forgiven so much. I understand the requirement that you have to forgive others 70 times 7. Yes, I do. And so I thought about David. And Yahweh had looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that understood and seek him. And this was Psalms 14. And it says they were all gone aside and departed from away. And they had all become filthy. And they were all corrupt. And there was none that does good, no, not one. So you think about the Creator, you know. And Jeremiah said, you know, his people are foolish. Foolish, right? His creation. They've not known me, they're brutish, they don't have understanding, they're wise to do evil, But to do good, they don't even have any knowledge. So even that is just a constant forgiveness from our Father. And Yahweh said that the whole land shall be desolate in that day, in Jeremiah's day. The prophecy was the whole land shall be desolate. And we don't even know what that's like yet. But imagine that happening and Yahweh still saying, yet will I not make a full end. And y'all know, Hebrews, you know the prophecy, I'll bring a nation upon you from far away. O house of Israel, it's a mighty nation. It's an ancient nation. It's a nation whose language you don't know. You don't understand them when they speak or what they say. They're very mighty men. They're going to eat your harvest. They're going to eat your bread, what you grow. They're going to eat. They're going to enjoy. And they're going to take your herds. They're going to eat up all your vines. And they're going to scatter or shatter your walls. You know, with your walls, meaning your protection, your city, the thing you live behind, the thing that protects you. And it's going to destroy and devastate you. But nevertheless, what did he say? In those days, I will not make a full end of you. That's very, very powerful, forgiving words. And he says, when you ask, why is this happening? You know, kind of like you can say even today, like, man, why is this going on? What's going on around me? What's this? What's this? And he said it then, when you ask, why is this happening? Well, just like you forsaken me and serve strange gods, you're also going to serve strangers in a land that's not yours. So there was a purpose. He says, you don't fear me. You have a rebellious heart. Your iniquities turned away all the good things I have for you, and your sins are withholding good things from you. So he couldn't reward the behavior of his people. But still he says, Jacob, my servant, I'm with thee. For I will make a full end of the nations where I drive you, but I will not make a full end of you. And what did he tell Jacob? I will correct you in measure. Let's not forget that. I will correct you in measure. And some of us better be glad it's in measure. There's only so much you can handle at a time, lest you could be swallowed up in sorrow. That I will correct you in measure, and I will not leave you unpunished. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, we rarely stop as a people to think about or consider what we have done to put ourselves in a position where we are personally being tested by the Most High Yah, or we have brought these things upon ourselves. So if you think about unforgiveness, for a minute, you know, unforgiveness brings such a heaviness. It destroys you. It destroys your mind. It destroys your body. And it's so easy to blame other things for that. You know, it's so easy to blame someone else for that. But it's never, we hardly ever just stop and say, you know, what did I do to bring this upon myself? What have been my meditations recently? Have they been fruitful or have they been unfruitful? So we hardly ever stop and really ask ourselves and think about that. If you've got unfruitful meditations, you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you're bitter, you're definitely going to manifest that in your mind and in your body. So it's, you know, you never really see the trials as something that you've brought upon yourself, and we hardly ever see it as mercy, you know, that the Father is extending his mercy to get you to such a point of humility where you'll actually see yourself, you'll cry out, and he'll show you your heart, and you'll see your heart, and you'll be brought back to him. You'll get yourself together. You'll repent, and you'll bring yourself back to his way and not your own. Sister Ashley?
That is the truth. Very good points, and remember Adam, and we only know him by the account that we have, but what did Adam say? You placed me with this woman, right? And he gave her to me, and she gave me this fruit, and I ate. And Pastor really has brought out in recent years, and even many, many years ago, just the blame game that was going on. The woman says, you know, the serpent deceived me and I ate. You know, just even from the very, very beginning, the Father, yes, the serpent was punished. Yes, the man gets punished, just as he said to Jacob, I'm not going to leave you unpunished. You know, the woman gets punished. But he still clothes them. It even says, Yah, clothe them. He sent them, yes, to the ground to serve. That was their punishment. And all this disruption and the beauty of his flawless creation, he still forgave, and he didn't make a full end. So it started in the very, very beginning. And fast forward to Moshe, and you can just pick out maybe any account that you like to read, or any king, or any account in the Word, and really observe it from the Father's perspective, that's the best you can in the flesh that we have. But talking with Moshe on a mountain, preparing Moshe to lead these so many people that he loved and he brought out. Remember, he just spared you. He just went through all these signs and wonders and miracles. I mean, this would be mighty to even behold or be a part of. I mean, we're in the green going, what? Huh? You know, with these little bitty things happening around us. This is some, okay, water is splitting. I'm seeing water. It's the middle of the night, by the way. We're walking on dry land. What happens when he's talking on the mountain? Ah, foolish Israel. You're taking your earrings from your ears and you're fashioning them with a graven tool. Interesting, back in the day, pause, there's a store in this town that I'm from, and as a small child, I used to go there often, and you could watch the, I don't know what the, maybe goldsmith, maybe that's still what they're called, you could watch the goldsmith actually make jewelry, and, you know, his melting tools and his graven tools, and interesting, when you put, what people would do is they actually say, you know, I don't want these earrings anymore, I don't want this necklace anymore, I want a ring, right? It's still common. So you take the value of that, and he would throw it into, it's a fire, and he pulled it out, and it would be very interesting shapes, never repeated, you know, never the same. And I think about that even with the ox head, you know, being the pictographical symbol for the strength of Yah early on. That's what they wrote all over the walls. So this graven image comes out of the fire, however it happens. And you know idols are everywhere. They're used to it. They're from Egypt, right? And so these be the gods. This is the God that brought us from Egypt, whatever shape, whatever fashion it's got. It looks just like this molten castle. They shape it into it, whatever goes down. But what happens now? Up goes an altar that they build and declare that, hey, tomorrow we're going to have a feast. Wait, isn't the Most High up on the mountain teaching Moshe how to lead them with a law that they haven't heard yet and they're still doing this? Yes. So Yah says, Moshe, go down. These people corrupt themselves. You know, they've quickly turned aside of the way that I commanded them, and these people are stiff-necked. But consider Yah saying, my wrath will wax hot. In the mechanical version of the Torah, it says, my nose will flare up. So Yah is fuming angry. And he says, I'm going to finish them. And I'll make you a great nation, Moshe. I know y'all read the account, but I'm bringing this up so you can see the impact of our Father. So Moshe pleads, you know, come on, Father. Egypt will mock us. Remember your promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Turn from your wrath. Incredible story, because you have Moshe that is first given the forgiveness of the Father and the nature of the Father, then reminding the Father of his own nature, to please turn from your wrath. And still, Yahweh didn't make a full end. I mean, if we could ask Aaron, Mother Jennifer. Aaron, you're live on the Sister to Sister. what would you say about Yah's forgiveness? Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, I do. I think about Moshe and how he was willing to put his soul on the line for the people, you know, and it's as if we always have to consider, but so many forget that Yah is always in the midst. He is everywhere. You know, there's nothing that is done that is secret. He is always in the midst. And you think about the love of Moshe, like I said, willing to put his soul on the line. And it reminds me of, you know, Pastor saying somebody has to love you more than you hate yourself. Somebody has to give you the opportunity that you won't even give yourself. You know, and we are so blessed. I mean, you can look in the book and go all the way back from the beginning at the opportunities that we have been given from the very beginning up until where we are now. No one will be left without excuse. No one will have an excuse to hate, to not forgive, to not repent. There will not be an excuse. And our Yah is so very loving and compassionate and thorough in that way. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. And remember, that is in context, the reflection throughout the night is your expected forgiveness, you know, from your vessel. And so Yah gives us a law, and Moshe even says, you know, your people have failed a great failure. And Moshe, as I said, has found in his heart to forgive these people too. Now imagine this man living it, hearing it, seeing it, you know, created in Yah's image. And Yah says to him, I will show beauty to who I will show it to, and I will have compassion on who I will have compassion on. You won't be able to see my face and live. So Moshe sculpts two more stones after he broke the first two. All right, so we get a law. The law is based on the iniquitous behavior of man that's already taken place. And he sets certain limits. He set limits on you, each of us, every one of us. The limits are real. The limits are forgive. The limits are have faith. You know, resist the devil. Hate this. Repent of that. Turn from this. Don't accept that. Deny that. Don't live as the other nations do. And this is what you're going to do. That's what the Most High says. This is what you're going to do. If you've ever been a mom before, surely you said, this is what you're going to do to your child. And Yah says, don't cut a covenant with a settler. You know, don't make a covenant with a settler who will take you away from this. You know, the law was even a limit and a boundary saying, keep yourselves in my love. You go outside of this, I will not forgive. Joshua said to the people, you can't serve the Lord because he's holy. It's Joshua 24. So, Kenny, if you want to post anything from there, this is where I get my meditations. But he says, you know, he's a jealous God. And he won't forgive your rebellion and your sins if you leave him and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn around and do you harm and finish you off in spite of having done any good to you in the past. And this is where I have to reflect, Mother Jennifer, on the stubborn nature of women who will not forgive their husbands. So you have this obstacle in front of you. You have this person who you believe should have done something differently or should have said something differently, and it hurts. But yet you're willing in your heart to turn away from your first love and your father and not even exemplify his character and not even forgive as he forgives, and to make an excuse after all his forgiveness throughout the beginning and end of all time that you could believe your circumstances and scenario is more exalted It's a shame. And the people even said, oh, we'll serve the Lord our God. We'll obey him. But what happens? Sin occurred. Rebellion occurred. Time fast forward. Then you bring to Solomon's prayer, Mother Jennifer, and he has to say, man, forgive the sins of this people. And when you bring them again unto the land that you gave their fathers, please teach them the good way. I mean, I know we read this book like it's, you know, it's before you and you got the pages and you're just taking it in however you read it. But, man, when these men are on their face weeping, prayer is gut-wrenching. Prayer is another world for me. Like Teacher Shane says, you want to leave the earth. Just hit your knees and go in prayer. And he's begging the Most High, Mother Jennifer, Solomon, all these years ago, he's saying, when heaven is shut up and there's no rain because we sinned, if we pray and we confess your name and we turn from sin, please hear us. And if there's, and they even knew, pastors always taught, our people knew the spiritual matters and the spiritual law of things, the dynamic of how everything, how can I say, snowballs, the effect of one thing to the next. Because he said if there's a famine, if there's pestilence, wind, locust, caterpillar, everything that he's naming, even in his prayer, is proof text that he's an agricultural man, that these things are going to take our substance, you know, the land that we live off of. And if any of these things happen, please hear our supplications and please turn. And if you're angry, Solomon said, then give them to the enemy and carry them into captivity to the land of their enemy. But if they repent and they make supplication to you, please, please, Father, hear them. Hallelujah for those type of prayers, Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, Pastor talked about, you know, fallacies and beliefs that people will often carry. And, you know, the examples that he gave, I thought about women and how women operate. And Pastor even mentioned it during the message. He said, you know, you women are famous for this. And he talked about supporting your position above Scripture. And it's interesting how we pick and choose what we will follow in the Scripture and what we're not going to follow. And you mentioned a woman holding resentment in her heart or unforgiveness in her heart against her husband. And that is such a very dangerous place to be, because the devil wants nothing more than to divide a husband and a wife. He wants to get the wife from her covering, from underneath her covering, so that he can whisper in her ear and have his way with her to get her separated. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart when it comes to your husband, you really have to get that rectified immediately in your heart. You have to, you know, just like the Father, he's ready to pardon. He's ready to forgive. And we have to put ourselves in that position to be ready to forgive. You know, he tells us that his thoughts are higher and his ways are higher. And you talked about, Sister Ashley, how he said, you know, that he will be gracious to whom he will be gracious to, and he'll show mercy on whom he will show mercy on. But, you know, we are not the Most High. You know, we try to put ourselves above that, and we take things out of context. We operate out of the fallacies that Pastor Dow talked about on Sabbath, and we support, you know, you'll support your hate above Scripture. You'll try to back it up with Scripture. You try to prove it with Scripture. But the fruit of your life is chaos, and there's no peace, which goes to show that you don't love the law. You know, you have no great peace because you walk around offended. So as you're listening tonight, don't put your fallacies above the word of Yah. Don't support your hate above the word of Yah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 12:8, ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. And countless times you'll read that they did that which was right in their own eyes, And there's a different dynamic to the Father's eyes, because it doesn't matter what man sees or what is right in your eyes. The Father knows. You know, we say it verbally, but what happened when every man does what's right in their own eyes? Well, let's send a great flood, flood the earth. So the Father can even make this statement, I'm sorry I made you. That's devastating. You know, if we just went over to the chat room and we just ran down the list of everyone listening in there. Hey, Sister Alex, sorry I made you. Sister Chris, sorry I made you. Sister Ashley, sorry I made you. Dorothy, sorry. You know, that's really, really impactful for the Father to feel what he felt, make the judgments he made, forgive like he forgives, not that he is as man. Remember that. That's not my reflection at all. But, you know, when a woman puts herself in a position to judge what is right or not for someone else to do, it's really masculine. It's really judgmental and critical. And I've been there, so I understand the transformation. So a man shouldn't be doing this. A man shouldn't be doing that. He should have said this to me, done that to me. All the while being consumed by your own transgression and your own backsliding. And let's ask Miriam. Miriam, you're live on tonight's show. What do you have to say about Yah's forgiveness? Right? Or, hey, let's ask Saul. Well, Jennifer, let's pull up Saul. How desperate he was to gain Yahweh's forgiveness. How desperate he was. Because he lost it. And he sought it. And he sinned away his favor. And he fell on a sword and he died. And that's really the calamity and the mocking that's going to transpire in the end. It's going to be Yah removing himself, his favor, and truly getting the last laugh as you plead and cry out for the Father to forgive you. I don't mean everyone, just in circumstance and within reason to scenarios that are happening within Israel. David said, why are you boasting in your mischief? The goodness of Yah endures continually, but don't tempt. You know, David was constantly begging for Yah to be merciful to him. David committed sin. It cost thousands of lives. David committed adultery. It cost him a newborn son. But he still pleads, don't take your spirit. And he still rose with great vigor, favor, and perfect direction and strength and honor from the Father. So the forgiveness was manifest in his life. King David, welcome to the show. Talk to us about the Most High's forgiveness. And then for everyone that has a testimony of how the Father has forgiven you, how have you returned it? Who have you forgiven? I mean, for legit reasons, not just emotional bondage. But how do you know you've been forgiven? If I ask myself that question, and even as I, you know, had conversation with my husband, Mother Jennifer, his answer, of course, was the conscious. You know, the conscious that you have. The zeal to resist sin. By the hand of mercy that you give to pull someone else from the fire. And so when you start reflecting on how you reciprocate Yah's forgiveness and how judgmental and critical you still are, then you gotta, I used to question myself this way. Then how forgiven am I? You know? And it's not fear-mongering doctrine. It's just truth that you gotta own up to and look in the mirror at and seek him for. And if our shepherd can say it, man, I'm constantly repenting. Every day I'm repenting. Me too. Absolutely every day. Got no problem trying to find something to dig and repent for. It's easy because we serve a sovereign, forgiving Yah, merciful. And I can't say, who am I to say he would just forgive? See, that's Christianity. It's just so easy for you to forgive, Yah, so forgive me. Mother Jennifer.
And Sister Ashley, even to really forgive, you know, have we forgiven and still included that person in your life? You know, it's easy to say, I forgive you, but not have anything to do with that person at all, to not interact with that person, to not reach out to that person at all. It's easy to avoid someone, but when you really forgive, you try to understand the other person. You know, you talked about reciprocating the forgiveness, and you, when you do that, you have to start to consider what someone has been through. What was their background? What was their upbringing like? You know, what was their mindset? Not that we're making excuse for any poor behaviors or anything like that, but you just really try to understand your sisters. You try to understand what people have been through. It's not all about you. You know, you're not the only one who has had a rough life coming up. And I think, Sister Ashley, you brought up a really good point, a really good question. How forgiven am I? You know, if we really ask ourselves that, it would be so easy to forgive someone else. It would be so easy to have compassion on someone else. And also, you know, you'll understand, too, that when you're connected with the body, when you believe and you know that you are Israel, you understand that you are one. And then you understand that your sins will cause hardship on others. That is not just about you, that you're not the only one that is going to pay, that we are one. If one part of the body is hurting, then the whole body is going to hurt. So I know we've covered a lot. We're talking slow, but it seems like it's so meaty and we're covering a whole lot. But really, I think a really good question to truly reflect on is, how forgiven am I? And when you think about that and you think about what you have done and what you've been forgiven of, then it's easy for you to reciprocate and to give back. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I have one last person that I know I want to bring up before I go to James. And I'm really wrapping up my thoughts. But Saul, Paul, the word said that he made havoc in the church. So you can imagine this man actually going into houses, hauling men and women to prison, chaining them, walking them out. I mean, imagine, you know, somebody you know, or it happening to your next-door neighbor, or you seeing this continually happening, going on in front of you. Make this real to you. And it says he was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of Yah. And Yah said, why are you persecuting me? Right? So what does Paul do? He opens his eyes and now he can't see. So he has this moment with Yah where Yah is talking to him and he opens his eyes to be blinded. So he goes days with no eating and drinking because Yah showed himself to be sovereign. And now he has to forgive himself and those who caused him to suffer from that point on, because now he's going to suffer for the gospel's sake. And he said to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of your acceptance. Remember that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, whom I am chief, and for this I obtain mercy, because I was first granted long-suffering. And he told Timothy to keep the faith and have a good conscience. So this is the man that's purged his conscience. This is a man who was a chief sinner. This is a man who obtained much mercy, so now he has to give it back. So when he's telling Timothy to keep the faith with a good conscience, what is it? Well, my husband says, when I say to him, how do you know you've been forgiven? And he says, a good conscience. And everybody these days, you know, they determine their own good versus evil and their right versus wrong and moral or not, approved or not, black or white, this, that. Everybody just going their own way. But a good conscience, no one can counterfeit. No one can mock. So What about Peter, Jennifer, when he says, you brought him up before. Hey, you're going to deny me. Nah, yes. Nah, yes. What happens? I don't know this man. Boom, cock crows. Damn. Peter runs out bitterly. But Peter turns around. This is what Mother Jennifer brings up. Hey, he's in the upper room. He stood in the midst of the taught ones, standing up teaching. What did he declare? Repent, be baptized, be healed, be filled with the Holy Ghost. He was bold. He buried Ananias and Sapphira, who had their own will to hold money from the pot. And so these men were then used by Yah once they received forgiveness. So let's bring up, and to conclude my thoughts, let's go back to Shabbat message after all this and say that Black Hebrew Israelites believe that they agree with Yah in their hate. But remember, Yah doesn't hate as a man hates, because a man hates for strife and envy and greed and gain. He hates with purity, with purpose. And the purpose for punishment, for captivity, for judgment is not based on our flesh's hate. So the hell that they want to throw a white man in, yes, it's the same hell that white man wanted to throw black man in. But I marvel at the Father's forgiveness in our shepherd. This man has to forgive the same people that you can't. I'm speaking to that mind, not to our listeners, but Pastor first has to forgive this people that did his people wrong. Even more so, just as all the men that I spoke of tonight in our words, he's been granted much forgiveness. And now he's pushing a message of forgiveness. And there is no other message of forgiveness. Search the world over. There is no other body of people that are known for their love. You're just not going to find it. Mother Jennifer.
And Sister Ashley, if Pastor would not have put himself in a position to truly forgive, you know, this is a man who has traveled much. He knows much. He has seen so much. And yet he has so much compassion. He's able to forgive, and he's able to actually teach that forgiveness as well to us. And you truly, truly know that this is the ministry of Yah, because there's so many people that are receiving they're receiving healing. So many melanated people, so many non-melanated people from these doctrines that have been taught, and they are receiving healing because they are finally able to hear the truth, because the truth is being spoken in true love. Pastor has no hang-ups in his heart at all. And this is why it's such a powerful message going forward, because he is truly free from hate. And so he can teach the people of Yah to be free from hate. Sister Ashley?
Sakina's in the background going, you can tell he's free. Because he's what, Sakina?
Because he's able to speak to
it without the emotions and the feelings attached to it. Now, that's a statement. And that's where a lot of people, that mind, I can say, they haven't experienced that type of freedom. So it's not coming from a white woman or even white people. Not all white people in the ministry have honor in their hearts, but not all black people do either. We're not deceived. We're not saying every single person's got it together and they don't got to deal with their own forgiveness issues or their own white supremacy issues. But what we're saying is there's a really powerful hatred that's permeated with the doctrine that just can't wait for Yah's vengeance. James says, who is a wise man that's endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't glory and don't lie against the truth, because that wisdom descends not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. And it is. The bitter envying and the strife in the heart of man is earthly, sensual, and devilish. You're forgetting the punishment's purpose, which was to lead you to repent. And the cycle of your own conscience being tormented is proof of your lack of freedom. And hate is a form of conscious torment. So, I think Ezra would be my last thoughts, Mother Jennifer. I was reading on Ezra with not even the intentions of thinking about, you know, Yah's forgiveness or the show or anything. And sometimes just stuff comes back to you before the show. And there's numerous verses that I want to bring up. And one of the things, this is 2 Ezra, by the way, in Apocrypha. Kind of like chapter 7, 8, 9, if you want to fish around and read tonight, or if you find time or want to, my sisters. But it says to sow not upon the furrows of unrighteousness so you don't reap them. I'm going to say that again and try to explain. Sow not upon the furrows of unrighteousness so you don't reap them. So you're not going to plant seed in the holes that have already been there, in the furrows of unrighteousness that have already perpetuated. Yes, it exists. So what? You don't reap that unrighteousness. And you don't say, God, look upon me on the multitude of all my prayers and my oblations, and when I offer up to you the Most High, you're going to accept it. That's just saying, don't say that. Don't be mistaken. Don't look down on me just because I'm talking to you. There's one thing, Pastor Dell's son, his firstborn, I actually knew and know him. He was actually really big on the commitment. When we would have dialogue, right, and we've even spoken in the last few years, he's really big on not just tossing words up to the air. That's how he would say it. So I got to bring him up because I coined that phrase from him. He said, you just don't toss words up to the sky, right? But you really, really want to be walking it out and living it. But Ezra says, if your servant works, truly entreat him not with evil. If he works, if he lives in the city, Sakina, no, if he works, you know, and to really let rejoicing be in your heart for your Father, for your Creator, for His covenant, for your life, for your breath, everything He's given you. But don't rejoice over your greatest enemy, even if he's dead, Ezra says. Do not rejoice. Remember that we all die, and not kindling the coals of a sinner on top of his head, unless you be burnt with the same flame of fire. There's just no love. There's no love and there's no forgiveness. Talk to me a little bit about, Mother Jennifer, I'm done. I just got one last question for you. Talk to me about any of the testimonies or, I'll give you an example. It was some years ago that a biracial, if you say that term, I guess, biracial, it was a black woman and a white man. They were in their 20s, been married for some years. They come across the Esau doctrine. I don't even know all the Esau doctrine. I really don't. This is the first and only truth that I would ever give an ear, and so it stuck. But they really came desperate, you know, wanting to know the truth and understand why does straightway got interracial couples, you know, black, white, this, that, a mixed multitude. And they asked legit questions, and they got Bible answers. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, there was a testimony that we had received of, like you said, it was a married couple, and they had run across, you know, just searching for truth, searching for Yah's people. And there are so many people that get caught up in, you know, different camps, different doctrines, different teachings. And so they came across the quote-unquote Esau doctrine, and they were told that, you know, this was a melanated woman that was married to a non-melanated man. And they were told in order for the woman to be saved or the woman to receive salvation that the man had to divorce her. And they were, you know, convinced in their hearts of doing this because they, at the end of the day, they loved Yah and they just wanted to do what was right in the sight of Yah. And so they had, you know, committed in their heart that they were going to do what was right. And they had, were in the works of setting everything up, getting everything prepared. And it is something because, you know, the husband says, I'm so happy that I had the spirit of Yah to truly be able to discern and to weed through all that, because the father intervened and stopped them from getting divorced. And shortly after that, they found Straightway. And when they found Straightway, they said they cried because they saw the mixed multitude, you know, of people. They saw the love between the people, and they just wept and wept, and they cried because they were finally able to see the truth of Yah. And I'm leaving out some, you know, some major parts, some good parts, but that's the gist of the testimony. And maybe one day, you know, she will share it with us if she's comfortable doing so. But I just thought that that was truly amazing how, you know, the love of Yah can penetrate all the fallacies, any false teachings, anything, any hate. The love of Yah penetrates it all. And for this couple to still be here today in the ministry and to hear this teaching, and, you know, they heard it and had tears in their eyes because they understand and recognize what Yah has done for them and how he truly saved them and delivered them and allowed his spirit to minister to them during that. And now they can be here and just to be set free and to help others be set free as well from the hate. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I remember speaking to, I got to bring up Sister Nicole Moore, Patrick Moore's possession in Ishai. If you know a little bit, just a little bit, about their background prior to the Straightway faith, they were, as non-melanated, white, Caucasian individuals seeking the truth. And this is what makes Straightway so different, or I could say some, those that I know anyway, that are white, that are in the ministry, different, okay? So she was willing to, her family, her husband, they were willing to serve, if I can say, black man. They were serve the other camps, the other people, pay bills, give money when they needed it. There was nothing. They actually accepted the doctrine so much that it wasn't a, I said to her, did you ever expect forgiveness out of them, you know, for how they treated you? You know, you were white. You weren't given anything you wanted. You were subservient to them. You did everything those camps wanted you to do, and you're just digging for the truth, and you're willing to love the Father and come under their truth. I'm telling y'all, when you think about her answer, she said, no, I didn't expect anything. I thought that we were just getting to feel what these people have always felt because of their skin. And that's really impactful that, you know, you have somebody with that humility amongst us. There's some of us that would say, I would serve you, you know. To the Black Hebrew Israelite mindset, is there anything that we can do? Can we be servants? Can we fan you? Can we feed you grape? No. Okay? Can we serve you in the kingdom? Yeah. Oh, you gonna forgive me then? No. You know, it's not that we're saying nothing's been done. What we're saying is you're not representing the Father. That's all we're saying. So we do have really loving, forgiving, Ruach-filled individuals that are willing to be subservient. And we marvel and admire the collective agreement to let any and all nations in and graft it into this message. And it is proof that our Father's forgiveness is manifested through the people who are having to forgive. Hallelujah. End the show, Mother Jennifer.
You know, Daughters of Zion, I just want to say that you will gravitate to whatever is in your heart. So if you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, you are going to gravitate toward a doctrine that is geared to hate. If you have the desire for true righteousness in your heart, then you're going to gravitate toward Yah's truth. So make sure that what is in your heart is pure and truly from the Most High Yah and based on His word so that you can be set free. Blessings, Daughters of Zion, and shalom to you all.